David and Alan, pass this out to our people, please. Get you started on today's. Glasses here. All right, you have the sheet in front of you, and we have been talking about prayer specifically, and do you have a specific prayer goal? And that's important. Do you have a specific prayer goal? May I say again, did many of you or any of you get a copy down the bookstore of With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray? I flagged this down a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say again, I'm going to spend probably the rest of my life dipping into this book and reading it and rereading it. And you may read it and say, gee, not much in there for me, or I don't understand it. I'm going to say again, get this book, and they don't get hardback, got paperback downstairs. And keep going back to it. I have yet to find a book on prayer that matches it. Now, there's some that are simpler, and if you've got a simple book on prayer that helps you, but sooner or later, you're going to find help in here. You won't find a place else that I've ever found. Now, again, don't be discouraged. Keep it there. And it means more to me now than it did 10 years ago. So maybe it didn't mean anything to me when I first started reading it. Well, I'll take that back. I started when church first started. I taught first class in 1975 and found real help to me as I began. But as you go and grow in your Christian life, you're going to find increasing principles of prayer here, some of which I'll be sharing with you. So do I have a specific prayer goal? And we got that from Mark 10. We won't go into it again. When the Lord says to the blind man, what would you that I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And this morning I'm asking you again, do you have a specific goal? If the Lord said to you, tell me one thing you want me to do for you today, could you answer him? And I mean, a lot of things you got to ask for. Do you have a specific prayer goal? If we don't, we're not going to know when the answer came. We're not going to know when the answer came. If I can pray generally for my grandchildren and for the church and for Pastor Les and his leadership, and I do, for different things, generally that need prayer, and that's good, nothing wrong. Do I have one or two things that are right up front in my prayer life? I mean, this is on the front edge. This is front burner stuff. This is what I'm praying about. Do you have that? If you don't, you're going to have generally no prayer answers because you're praying generally. And that's all right. But see, God intends prayer to have an answer. I'm going to say that again. God intends prayer to have an answer. Now, if I'm not asking anything, then nothing's going to happen. Do you have a specific request that you have before him? It's important enough that you keep it there. Number two, am I prepared to face the fears or trouble of searching out God's will on a matter? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? I wonder what God wants me to do in the next stage of my career. I mean, here I am. I'm 70 years of age by God's grace. I'm here on staff, and I'm full-time still, and I thank God for it, and my hands are full, my plate's full. There's not one more thing I want to do. I've got my life goals I'm working on, and I've got weddings and funerals and all that. But a change will come up in my life. I'm not going to be full-time on staff forever, and I have my dates when I'm going to say God bless everybody. I still attend here. I'll be a member in this church, and by God's grace, I still have this health. I think I'm going to live for many years yet. So what am I going to do with my life? Fold up somewhere? I'd like to play tennis once a week. I haven't played for 3 months now. So I play tennis once a week. Big deal. But that's 2.5 hours. Okay, then what? So after I get all the garage cleaned out, my wife will rejoice, and the drawers fixed up, and all the honeydews done, that's going to take me, what, 2 months? And is this a lot of stuff to be done around I don't do? Okay, then what? What does God want with my life? Just become a pineapple in Hawaii or something, you know, okay. Or whatever. No. I'm praying about what God wants me to do. I think I know what he wants me to do. And I keep holding that before God, and I keep asking him to open doors. Now, look, you don't have to be 70 to preach or to do that. It's very important that you have some that you have some specific things that you're asking God for and about today. Who are you influencing? Whom do you want to influence? Who is an unbeliever you're praying for? Who are you working on? Who are you praying for? I got my two neighbors again, right and left, north and south. And I finally made contact again. And as I told you before, the one to the south person, her name is Niner, because she was the ninth child of the family. She's Niner. That's why our daddy called her that. And it's kind of a funny name, but she's a nice lady. And about a year ago, she asked me, have you ever seen this book on near-death experiences? I said, no, I haven't. So I'm reading it. It's really interesting. I said, oh, imagine this. And I thought, I should have asked you about reading that book. So we're asking our neighbors to come to our annual neighborhood Christmas party that we have in our home. They're doing this working on this for 7 years. And now they all come and they don't think I have a halo and I don't have wings, and they're not afraid to come in the minister's house. And we have fun and we have funny games, we laugh, and we sing a carol at the end somewhat stiffly because it's getting spiritual. And now, after 2 years of that, they can sing it without being stiff. They know we're not going to preach or take an offering or anything. And I call and then talk to Nina yesterday. I said, oh, by the way, I thought it'd been about a year. I said, Nina, do you still have that book on near-death experiences and afterlife experiences? She says, yes, I do. She lost two grown sons, like in a 6-month period. One by electrical accident, one by a car accident. And this just devastated them. She said, after my sons died, I read everything I could on the next life. And she said, you know, I think there is a next life. I said, Nina, first of all, the Bible says there is. But I said, you know, every ancient culture, the Egyptians, the American Indians, all these ancient cultures all believed in the next life. I said, it wasn't a conspiracy. How did they come that way? Because Adam knew it from God, and he just spread it on to all the human race, and that's where we got it from. Can I come over and get that book? Will you have it ready for me? She said, I'll have it for you. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go back over, and I'm going to return the book, aren't I? And then what am I going to do? I'm going to say, here, let me talk to you about this. Now, this is a 2-year process. It shouldn't have been. I should have been on this thing a year ago. Now, that's a request I have. Lord, open the door for me to talk to Bill and Nina more specifically, because I've had some chances and made some little wonderful statements about Jesus, and he loves them, and he's come through heart attacks. What am I praying about specifically? How am I going to know I got an answered prayer when I get that book and go back and talk about it? I know God is hearing my prayer. Please, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, all right, so I'm praying for Paul, Stephen Sauce to sell. Proceeds go to missions. I told you the answer to prayer on that, didn't I? Okay? So, I mean, please don't think I get 20 answers every day. I don't. But I'd like to see an answer about once every 2 weeks or something, depending on the nature of it. So, do you have a specific thing, person, for which you're praying? Now, I want to say this. The more interest you have in that specific request, the more it's going to crowd out a lot of lesser requests. And if it's a really, really big one, it starts to crowd everything out. And you may want to fast and pray for a day on that one request. Your fasting becomes your unspoken praying. And then when you pray that day, you're praying too. But when you're fasting, it's almost an unspoken request that you're doing. All right? Any questions so far? Look, if we don't get specific, you're not going to get specific answers. God said, what do you want me to do for you? So, well, I don't know. Somewhere here, Lord, maybe you can take care of my retirement in 40 years. It's too general. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. The Father gave that request to the Son. All right? Do you have a specific prayer goal? Am I prepared to face the fears or the trouble of searching out God's will on a matter? I don't know God's will on everything. I can know God's will on a lot of stuff. Many times you have to pray about something before you pray for something. Okay? If you don't know, I'm not going to try and press you, because I'm not going to do that. Once in my life, I asked the Lord to raise somebody from the dead. I was really in this church, and we lost one of our good elders. I don't think I've even told the widow. I don't think I've ever told her. I think probably I should. It's been 20 years now. He passed away. We were all waiting in the hospital. And there's several, we only had, I think, 7 elders then. And 4 or 5 of them were there. We waited through, and he passed away. I couldn't believe it. I've never done this before in my life. I've never even mentioned this before publicly in my life. It's been 22 years. I told the men, let's go and ask God to raise him from the dead.
Hell yes! Why not?
And I told him, I said, I don't have faith to know he'll come back, but I have faith to ask God to see if he'll do it. Did you see where, don't try and jump in over your head. I could move at the level. I could move at it. That was the level of my faith for that time. I was going to pray about something to see if we could ask to pray to get it. So, four or five of us went in, and they weren't particularly wanting me to come into the room where the body was. I said, look, we're a church and we're elders. That's just part of our faith. I didn't tell them what I was going to do. So we went in and stood around our brother and asked the Lord if he'd be pleased to raise him up. The Lord was not pleased to do it. I think he was probably pleased that we asked. If God's going to do it, he's going to do it. There's no move of the Spirit, no. But I thought I'd ask anyway. All you could do is say no. I had a person call me a number of years ago, and they said, Brother Murdoch, yeah? So-and-so is dying. I want to know if when they die, you'll come over and help pray to raise him from the dead. And I said, no, I don't think I'll be in on that one. I was kind, but I said, unless the Lord gives some indication in my heart that I should be part of that prayer team, I have no liberty to go. And if you have that kind of liberty, then you do it. But I have no liberty. Do I believe people can be raised from the dead? Absolutely. But you better know what you're doing when you launch. You can ask. I've talked with two men. I don't know why I'm on this morning, but I'm just going to talk about it. I've talked with two men who were in on raisings from the dead. One was a missionary in West Irian, and the other was an alliance evangelist here in America. Neither one was particularly willing to talk a whole lot about it, especially the missionary. Because I think he was afraid that he'd be, in fact, even I said, look, don't be embarrassed around me. I'm not going to go out and quote you and make you a nut. Because most people are just laughing to scorn. And on another level, that's the only time in my life I've ever prayed that way. And I can't say I was led to. I just thought, you know, Lord, is there something we can do here? Why do we have to do this? Can't you do something here, Lord? I don't mind asking the Lord. The past president of Wheaton College, Dr. Blanchard, tells a story. Oh, I'm sorry. It's quoted by John R. Rice in his book, Receiving Things from God. I don't know why I'm ringing, because I'm way back being a good boy here. Up higher? Is that better? Can you hear me? All right. John R. Rice, who has a book entitled Receiving Things from God, told a story that Dr. Blanchard told. Dr. Blanchard was the late president of Wheaton College. He was no flake. And he was preaching in a mission in downtown Chicago. And this woman gave her testimony. And she said that she went to the hospital with her husband, who was deathly ill, and he died. And they came out and said that she died. And she said, no, he can't be dead, because the Lord promised me he was going to be saved before he died. And they said, well, we're sorry that he's dead. She said, well, I don't believe it. He said, let me see him. So they went in, and she saw her husband and said, I don't believe he's dead. The Lord told me he's going to be saved before he dies. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. She says, well, I'll get another doctor in here. And they brought in, I'm going to be conservative, but it's more than the number I'm going to tell you. They brought in three, four, or five doctors to tell her he is dead. And she said, I'm not leaving. He's not dead. I'm not leaving. He was dead as a doornail. She said, I don't care. And she said, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray God will raise him from the dead. Well, the doctors weren't going to fight a woman that was feeling that way. So they figured she'll give up in half an hour, so they left her praying by the bed. And she kept praying. Finally, she said, bring me a pillow so I can, for my knees. So they brought a pillow in for her, and she prayed on 12 hours by his bedside. At the end of 12 hours, he opened his eyes and he says, dear, take me home. They brought the doctors back in, and they were in shock. They said, you can't take him home, he might die. She said, you said he already died, let's take him home. And home he went and raised from the dead he was. Now, I'm giving you that story, it's as accurate as you're sitting there. But what had happened? She prayed out of a God-given, previously given confidence, which was a faith deposit from God to her. So when it happened, she prayed from victory, not toward the victory. Now that's what I'm saying. There are times you pray out of previously given faith, so when it happens, you're working from his victory. In fact, all our Christian life, it should be praying out of his victory, not toward a victory. But you, here, what about the last thing I got down there? What's it say? Look at the last thing. In prayer, what appeared too high is grasped in faith. It takes prayer to begin. You have faith just to start praying. I mean, why pray at all? Lord, your Father, which art in heaven, we thank you this day. You come with some faith, asking him to give faith so you can appropriate what was too high to begin with, but you come with faith, and you go from faith to faith in prayer as God imparts faith through the Word and the Spirit's work. Okay. Am I prepared to enter the process of coming to faith so that I may claim it in faith? Do you understand that now? If there's something you want, here's your unsaved husband, spouse, friend, son, daughter, whatever. They're out partying. There's not a shred of evidence that they care about God any more than we did, whether we were polite sinners or gutter sinners. And so God brings you to a process of coming to his word and his promises that by his Spirit, you will eventually, you're entering the process of faith, faithfully, to come to faith on that level to appropriate that, because faith is a pregnancy. And there comes a time that you become pregnant with faith and you can give birth to the answer, because it's happened, all right? Now, am I prepared to enter the process of faith? It's true faith, process of coming to faith, so that I may claim it. Now, I didn't have any time to get ready for this man's death. He went in an hour and a half. I didn't have any time even to say, Lord, I knew I could come to the Father and say, Lord, we're going to ask you to raise him from the dead. Why not? I have faith to ask that. I had no faith to deposit, nothing that would say beyond that, but I had faith I could ask him. Now, if I had more time, I could have said, Lord, we can ask you for this. Is it going to be your will? Is it going to be your will to lift him up from the dead? If not, we'll just bless the people here and comfort them. But I was going to go for the top shelf right off the bat. I knew I would not offend the Lord. I would, and again, I say I've never even mentioned this to anybody in 22 years, except the men who stood in that circle with me. But you go from faith to faith. And you may be looking, what's next in your life of faith? What's next in my life of faith to believe for? I know I got two things really hard in pressing that. And I don't have, how should I say it? I have faith to know God's answering it, but in a different, but I need faith for a bigger level of it. Question, I'm laboring with faith here. And faith is a combination of your mind, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. Now you come in prayer, and you have faith to begin, you would even pray. But faith leads to prayer, which leads to faith on a higher level than you are down here. Faith is the result of exposure to the Word and the Holy Spirit or I should exposure to, exposing, let me change this, exposing your mind and spirit to the Word and the working of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's okay. So if I ask you, how do you get to faith? How do you come to faith in anything? It's going to be through exposing your mind and spirit to the Word of God on that given subject and to the Holy Spirit. That's how you get faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but there's also a work of the Holy Spirit, quickening that Word. Dr. Tozer used to say this, the same Spirit that gave the Holy Scriptures, the same Spirit that gave the Holy Scriptures and spoke them. How often does it say in God's Word, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said to Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and said, get up out of the country where you are and go to a land where I'm going to teach you and lead you. Boom, he gets up and goes. What preceded his obedience? Please?
Command.
Oh, yes, again?
A command.
Yeah,
God.
All right. He heard a word from God and did it. And God said, come out, Abraham, and look at the stars of the sky. And I'm going to make your offspring like the stars of the heavens. And then it says, and Abraham believed God. It followed a what? A revelation. It's a promise, a word of God. And so you and I, here I have a need. I mean, Abraham has no children. This is a disaster in the Semitic world. And what your need is. And so the need brings us to God. God may initiate something toward us. We go right up to God and Lord, here's the need I have. And I know what your word says. And you bathe yourself in the one, two, or three verses you need on that subject. Say, Lord, quicken this to me. I know you've said it. But when God said it once, so you got it in the scriptures. When he says it again in your heart, it's quickened to you. And when it happens, it comes pre-faith, pre-victorious, and pre-answered. When God speaks it to your heart like he spoke it in the Word, whether it's slow confidence that comes or quick revelation, it's done. It's there's a deposit of faith that's from your desire, your mind, and your spirit. God quickens it to you, and God speaks it to you. It's done. Now, sometimes it comes in slow confidence, surely gathering. The Lord had called us. This is what we got to do. And then you're working out of faith. You've gone from faith to faith. Abraham, faith, come to God and say, okay, I'll obey you. Lord, what about my children? I have no one to take over. I'll take care of it. Here's a word. So you can come to God. Okay, now we're going through the process of faith to faith. And where are you this morning? Where do you want to be on a given prayer request a month from now? 1 month from now, what prayers are going to be answered in your life? Well, a month from now, what have you been praying for a month? So I don't think this is a class in prayer academics. Can you, those of you who have liberty, can you share with me what is your top, or the class, if you can't, some things are private, obviously. Can you share with this class the thing that's the top prayer request in your heart right now? Some things are personal, I understand that. But is there something that's, it's really there? Something you're focused on? And I know many of you have them, but they're private, and that's understandable. But if you're focused, I'm going to try and make you say, where are you today? Hello, where are we? Yes.
I have a prayer request. I need a new salon manager, desperately.
Okay. Now, that's not something inconsequential. You've got to have someone who can manage the business under them. And they're not a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
They're not a dime a dozen.
We had someone wonderful.
Had the ability,
worked well with us, and actually he came to the Lord, and then about 1 or 2 weeks later, I feel like he kind of got snatched out from under us, and so we placed him with someone, and it's just not working out. It's very, very hard. It's just like, to me, it feels like total turmoil.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, because you've got this whole thing, now you've got to step in another whole arena of responsibility, and every day it comes to you, it doesn't wait, it just keeps coming out like an incoming wave. And there's decisions and oversight and personnel.
And we can't do anything. We're trying to do our other job.
Plus, you got a full-time job, and he's got a full-time job running the place, and now here's our key quarterback, and we don't have a quarterback, and who's going to call the plays?
And our top receptionist has meningitis so severe that she's
meningitis?
For a whole month, so I'm also a short person. It's like...
All right. Okay. So we've got a major request here. All right, now we're going to pray about that.
And there's also one other thing.
Go ahead.
When we pray for a new manager, there was seeming peace about this person.
Okay.
But it seems like in the last 2 months, there's almost a darkness that is very prevalent.
In that life or... in your business or what? Darkness, seeming darkness where?
Like from when he came in.
From since he was there?
Yeah.
And it seems heavy since he left?
No, I'm talking about the new manager. The new manager.
Well, you don't have a new manager.
Yeah, I have one, but he's bad.
He's not going to make it.
Yeah. So what he's saying is we replaced our prior one, Russell. And with this other guy who we thought we were supposed to hire, and it's just like, I don't know how to describe it, it's just, every day is a big turmoil or a problem or a...
But just his voice and the way he responds to a question, there's almost kind of a darkness to his answers at all. It's more than just surfacing things. It's starting to come to life. And so...
It's heavy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, let me ask you, why do you think God... First of all, the other man came in and came to the Lord, so praise God for that. And his trip through your place was for his salvation. Thank God for that. We would like to have had him stay, but that's God's business. Now we got, let me ask you, what do you think, what's God have in mind when he puts you or them in a similar squeeze? Then it's a squeeze. What's God having, what's several things going on, what's happening? Please?
He's definitely pressing us to himself.
Okay, we're reduced again to God. We know we're reduced to God always, but these things come along and it's like, it's a wake-up call in a new way. We know we're dependent on God, but if your child comes down with 106 fever today and they just get news in here that they rushed her to Children's Hospital, the awareness dependence level goes whew. Now, God doesn't give that to us every day because we can't take too much of that. But that's exactly... So first of all, they hit a whole new awareness level of dependence. What else? Please? To strengthen us in what way?
When we have to deal with things like this, we are pressed to him.
Yes.
And by being pressed to him, we are more strengthened in our faith.
Yes. Every time you go through something, you carry with you, if you do it right, quote, do it right, you carry with you a divine, holy confidence residue from the last time we went through something like this. Or anything that was oppressor, anything that pushed you beyond your natural capacities. Every time we come to something like that, we are growing in our faith to know there's a holy residue. So you can bring into this situation what you learned from the last answer to prayer. You bring into this circumstance everything you learned from what God's brought you to this point. God's not going to leave you in the fourth grade all your life. He's going to give you fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade tests. So where are you in graduation? See, God will keep pressing you on. And he leads. Waste your sorrows. Because God's not going to. And if he's permitting something in your life, then what are you getting out of it? Tell the Lord, Lord, this is too painful for me not to get everything out of it you have in mind. I don't want the homework reassigned, really. And so I'm going to learn, this is too painful not to get out of it, spiritual lessons. And it really, really is. And what you learn from this is what goes to heaven with you. Your church is not going to heaven with you. The business is not going to heaven with you. You're going to heaven. And you're going to heaven with what you learn of Christ now. That will be your spiritual riches in heaven. Okay. Now, we're going to pray for them. Any question, anybody would like to comment or help them? Maybe you've come through something in your business before that will help them, encourage them. If you have, share it. And Linda, we're going to have prayer. Well, Paul, we've got two hands. We'll start with Paul and go over.
Putting myself in their situation, sometimes when that kind of a situation happens, I discover firsthand things that I don't know, and I'm forced to seek counsel, seek wisdom, rather than avoid the conflict, deal with the conflict. How do I do that? Wiser heads than I to get some wisdom as to how to solve that kind of problem. If it's a personality problem, rather than immediately thinking, well, I've got to get rid of this person. You may have to, but there may be some things that need to be learned in the process that I need to learn, and I need wisdom in the Word, but also from wiser folk than I that have dealt with things like that.
Okay, we learned a couple of things. We learned to trust on the insights and experience of other people. The hand cannot say, the eye have no need of thee. Secondly, what's God trying to teach me through this? Again, that's perfecting you into conforming you to the image of Christ. You'll always learn of God. You'll always know God and get to meet God in a furnace. You may meet him in a meadow by the singing brook, and that's lovely too, but you'll always meet him in the furnace, if you will. You'll always meet him at a fork in the road, if you let it. You'll always meet God at a fork in the road. What do I mean by that?
Hebrews 11:1, I think, fits so perfectly with what they're going through. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They're hoping for a good manager. They don't know who it is. And according to that, that will develop their faith. When it all happens, they'll say, this is a new level of faith that God has brought to you because I've been hoping for this. I haven't seen it, but he's going to reveal it to them in a marvelous way.
Okay. You see, we're starting with the confidence that God's in charge of my life and God's in charge of my business. And this is a need. Now, your greatest need, the best need you can have, is a God-given need. What do I mean by that? I want to say it once more. Our greatest need is a God-given need. What do I mean by that?
He's got the resource. He's got the answer, but I've got to go to him.
Yeah, you're on the back side of what I want. Someone come on the front side now.
He gives you a problem or a situation in order to train you for your long-term good and fitting into his family.
If I have a God-given need, I know it's a God-given need, then I have access to a God-given supply. That's why what our church needs, what I need in my life, I need a God-given need in my life. Not something I precipitated in myself, God may still bail me out. But if I realize I've got a God-given need, I mean, I didn't ask for this, I'm not looking for this, but here's the need that we have. Well, then the joy of it is, if I have a God-given need, I remember we were trying to raise money for this wraparound out here, this was $1.2 million, whatever it was. $1 million, that's the first time I used the word $1 million being in church. I mean, are you kidding? $1.2 million to put the wraparound? And first I got comfortable with the idea of $1 million. Now, you got to remember, some of our first churches had a whole annual budget of $60,000, the whole budget for the year. But we knew we had a God-given need, so we could come up and ask for a God-given supply. That's what we got to do here. They got a God-given need because they didn't ask for it. But he's there too. What does God want with this man? Does God want him converted like the other guy? Maybe he's... This is very difficult. So if need, do I have to pray before I fire him? Why did God bring him in here? We kind of had peace to do it. Now, don't doubt in the dark what God gives you in the light. Very, very important. Once you get light up here and you have peace to do it, if it gets dark over here, don't immediately think you made a mistake. Because the will of God does not exclude pain. I wished it did. It didn't for Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Don't doubt in the dark what God gives you in the light. But I, depending on what decision I'm making, I want to have all the light and assurance I know, so when I make it, when it gets dark, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to proceed. Yeah.
Yeah, because like in my mind, I the one person I had, you know, given me like his 2 weeks' notice. So I don't know if I hired too quickly or so. I'm having all these doubts. Like, did I hire incorrectly? Because we had to do it fast, do we just feel peace because he seemingly was the best one out of the bunch? But we did move kind of quick.
And I'm not saying you hired too fast.
And now it's like, should we just let it go without anyone? And then, or would it turn into a total disaster? Would that be this one, number two, face the fears and trouble?
Number two. Am I prepared to face the fears and trouble of searching out what God's will is in the man? That's right. So you face number two. What are we going to do with Joe, whatever his name is? I'm not saying you hired it too fast. I don't know. And even if you did, now what do I learn from it? All things work together for good to them that love God. Not everybody. I didn't say all things are good. I didn't say all things feel good. I said all things work together for good to conform you to the image of Christ. And again, I'm at the bottom of that whole thing. That's the only reason you can take the other two verses, giving thanks always for all things, and everything giving thanks. You've got to be crazy. And the only reason you can make sense out of it is because God says, I'm going to use all things to conform you to the image of my Son. That's the only way. Those verses are absurd. Except the eyes of faith. Okay, now we're going to pray. Alicia, go ahead, then I'll come back to them and pray.
You said earlier not to let the devil steal your joy, to remember God's attributes and that he is there in the midst and not to let the devil steal your joy.
This is true. I want to say something along that line. Many times, instead of trying to have faith to appropriate the promise of a verse, sometimes you need to do something before that, and most of the time you probably, I know I need to keep going back to it. Before I start going that way, I need to come back and just fellowship with the Father as to who he is, who the Father is, and his power and his love, and fellowship with who he is and his care for me and his care about the world and how he cares about all, because of who he is. Loving, kind, all-powerful, merciful, caring Father, and just fellowship with him. So you see, your faith in a promise is only as big as your faith in the promiser. Suppose I come to Frank, I say, Frank, give me your hand. You know I really like you, and I want you to know, I promise to give you $1 million by tomorrow. Well, Pastor's a great guy, but I know he's driving an 89, so I mean, he doesn't have anything. I mean, so I made a promise, and he likes me and all, but he doesn't have the capacity to do this. Give me your hand again. Hello, Frank. My name is Buffett. And you know what? I've been thinking about you for a long time. And I'm going to write you a check tomorrow for $1 million. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Now, if you see what I'm trying to say. Mr. Buffett has the capacity to do that. I have the inclination, but I don't have the ability. Okay. So, the promise, when you read a promise from God's Word, don't stumble on the promise. Take a look at the promiser. If Mr. Buffett says he's going to give you, signed in writing, $1 million tomorrow, he can do it. I can't. That'd be nice though. So when I look at the promise and stumble, I look away at the promiser. And I got to revel in who he is. He holds up the world. He gives everybody their health, their strength, their breath, their heartbeats. He sustains the universe. He hangs the stars and the world on nothing. And I get back to what kind of a father I have and what kind of a father he is. And then when I look at that kind of a father and his mercies to me, then I look at what the Father said, and you can believe what he said when you see who he is more. So many times I start with a promise, I'm grappling with it, but it really gets back to how well I relate to the Father who said it. Who said it? And that's how faith starts to build. Now we're going to pray for them. Anybody got any other word they want to share with them before we pray? Yes, Carol?
I've just been sitting here thinking that part of the good that God had in this is this person has been able to be with you and learn from you. And I see another word. running a business different than a person in business who would not be a Christian. And sometimes others are allowed to come where we can be that spiritual parent and help them to mature and to grow. And it may be in this situation, praying about it and then sitting down with a wise counselor also, so that it could be talked out, so that some of those tensions can be relieved, and you can share with this person that you did bring it to the Lord, and that you have been praying about it, and that with a wise spiritual counselor, with a Christian counselor, you can sit down and talk about the situation and allow them to know that you count your vision is so important that you do bring it to the Lord in prayer and that you bring it to the Lord.
Thank you for that. Does a man have the ability, the innate ability to do it? Let's say attitude. Does he have the ability? Question about his ability?
I don't think so.
Well, there's different aspects of the job. He has terrific computer skills.
Yeah.
He doesn't have people skills.
Does not have people skills.
But in his interview and initial several hours of speaking with him, he came across on paper, and he came across in speaking to me that he did have those skills. We have an outline of different questions and ways to evaluate how they would react to in people's skills. And he seemingly was really very aware of the need of how to react to people and situations and all. And then
he gave you the right answers?
Yeah.
Did you feel good about his own personality relating to you?
Yes.
Now, it didn't seem abrasive or in your face?
No.
He seemed like...
One way, and he interviewed one way and he's another way.
Yeah, all right.
Even, we've had another guy with us during that time. And, I've never seen anyone interview so one way and turn out another.
Okay, so what's saying? God crossed your path with him. God crossed your path with him so that at least we're going to say, regardless of what happens, we're going to share with him openly what we're feeling and what our real goals in life need to be, which is the Lord and all, and how we're trying to run this. So the worst that can happen is he's had an experience in your life of crossing it so that he may receive the gospel. And the worst thing that's happened to you, worst thing, is you've had another encounter with something called experience. And thirdly, sometimes our painful experiences are the most helpful. Last of all, it's going to be a framework in which the Lord's going to be glorified by what you share and how you handle it. But we're going to pray right now. Let's ask God to make a definite move in their life. And by the way, please take your sheets. Will you notice? I'd like to have you take it home and fill in 4 through 6. And notice the questions there and the comments. We want to start with you next week, so please do this. And very important. Now, I'd like to have someone lead in prayer that God will make a definite touch of guidance in this life, in both Tino and Trisha's, as well as this man's life. Because he hasn't come into your life with no purpose. And God may well have made him interview well with you, because you may be the only Christians ever met. Maybe you'd be the only Christians ever having to say to him much. I don't know. So will someone please lead in prayer? Let's unite together now. This is what the class is about. We want God to give, and God's interested in our lives and our businesses, and we want him to speak and lead and guide by circumstance for this specific case. Please join in prayer. Someone just lead right out, and we'll join with you.
Lord God, I do thank you for this opportunity, God. Good news is that we can rejoice because we know you and that you have plans on our lives and that we can rejoice in all things. When we look to you instead of the problem, there is an answer. And we don't know what it is now, God, but we do have assurance. And Lord, we just move people in and out and
want your hand in this, God. We want your answer for this. Not a quick fix, but what you want, God. And we do look to you fully for this, Father. I do ask forgiveness for anything that I'm getting hate that I thought was of you, that was of my flesh, God, but you can rule and overrule. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, we just ask you right now that you will move in this, God, and that you will have your will and way in this situation, God, and that if it is Him, that you will show us how we can guide and direct Him to be the person that you want for us, and that you will help Him to be what we need. And if it isn't Him, that you will give us clear direction, Father, that you will just give us a peace, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give your hands imprinted this, and we'll look to see how it happens within the week, Lord. Some movement and understanding of what you want in their hearts and lives and business. Amen. Thank you. God bless. See you next week. And do your homework sheets, and we'll appreciate it. We'll appreciate it. We'll appreciate it.